Okay, you're on.
Am I on?
Yep.
All right, Chris, welcome to Cop.
Hold on. What's wrong?
Well, you told me I was on, but I was leaning back.
Well, when I say it's on, it's also saying, are you ready?
Okay, now I'm leaning forward. Because Chris, when you project, you have to kind of sit straight.
You do.
Yeah. And welcome to Comic Culture, the podcast that talks all things comic culture.
All things comic. As well as pop culture.
Pop culture.
Yeah. But usually as long as it's related to comics.
Right.
Yeah.
And this show is related to comics.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
This show today, this show right now, is fueled by
Stella
Artois, the Belgian beer since anno uno tre. I don't know how to say six in Italian. Uno, due, tre, quattro, cinque. I don't know how to say six.
I don't know. 1366.
Yeah, there that's you go. A lot of years of refining their beer craft.
It is,
and they've done a hell of a job.
They really have.
Would you say, Chris, that it is the staple beer? Or is it Heineken? What is the world's staple beer?
It's a great question. Yeah. I don't know. I'm going to say it's either Stella Artois.
Uh-huh.
And it's probably Heineken.
Right.
But Stella Artois, Heineken, or Budweiser.
Or Budweiser.
Budweiser's
right.
Big.
Yeah.
But I think that it's actually Heineken. I just know that when I've been to other countries, they'll have their own brand, and then we'll have Heineken.
Yes.
Right?
Heineken, you'll see wherever you are, those outside cafes,
yeah.
A lot of Heineken umbrellas.
Umbrellas, yeah. And stuff like that. I just know, but even when I've been to, Mexico, like they'll have
Dos Equis.
Which is great beer.
Uh-huh.
They'll have that, and then they'll have Heineken, or, I've been to, wherever, somewhere in the Caribbean, and they'll have... Le Piton in St. Lucia.
Le Piton.
Which was the,
Do they have that in Quebec?
Maybe it's the mountains. I don't think
no,
so.
No, they have Labatt 50.
They have Labatt. And they have. Only old salts and engineers drink that.
Right. Or as they say, Labatts.
Labatts.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, I think it's Heineken, but I could be wrong.
Okay. Heineken isn't the beer today for us. It's Stella Artois. And Chris and I are enjoying it. So, Chris, a couple of weeks ago or a month ago or, may have even been a year ago. I don't know.
It was a little while ago.
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago. We talked about something that we didn't really know what we were talking about.
And we still don't know about that.
Which was that Bitcoin encrypted ownership
right.
of things that don't exist.
Now,
collectibles that don't exist.
Right. Now, right. The only thing I'm going to say before we get into our other topic
sure.
is when we did that show...
Uh-huh.
It seemed, and I could be wrong, but it seemed like there seemed to be an explosion of information about that kind of stuff as soon as we did the show.
Right.
There was sellers, there was news articles about people selling...
A cartoon for $6 million
and some piece
of art for $60
million. $69 million or something like that. Yeah. And then there was... And now I'm reading... There's somebody that... I read somewhere that there was a musical artist that said that NFTs, non-fungible tokens, is going to be the way to go even for music.
Right.
So basically, you buy that non-fungible token of that sound bit,
uh-huh.
and you own it,
uh-huh.
But you can't, nobody else can play it. Like, this is the way it's going to go.
Wow.
It's like owning a record, but in digital form now.
Right.
Right?
Incredible.
So.
Incredible.
Anyways.
We showed how little we knew back then about that one. So we thought at the very end of that show, we mentioned another topic that we were going to revisit, and we're revisiting it today, and something we're a little bit more familiar with, and that's fractional ownership.
Fractional ownership.
Fractional ownership.
Fractional ownership.
Okay, Ed. So what fractional ownership is an actual tangible item.
Right.
An actual one-off individual virtual piece of something that exists
right.
that you buy a fraction of.
Like a share?
No. A share doesn't technically exist.
Well,
a share is a virtual share. When you buy a Tesla share,
right.
you can get a piece of paper that says you own a Tesla share,
right.
but it doesn't technically exist.
Oh,
it's
okay.
almost like an NFT.
Right. Yeah.
I'm talking about an 8.0 CGC graded Amazing Fantasy 15.
Mm.
There it is. It's sitting right in front of you. It's a book. It's worth $200,000, $250,000 USD.
Right.
And you'll never be able to afford one. I'll never be able to afford one. But we can own 1/10 of 1% of that.
Oh, okay.
That's $250.
Right, right.
So, hey, I own, I buy two of them. I have $500. I have 2/10, 1/5 of 1% of an 8OAF15. Right?
Right.
But I go to that website that's the trading website for that.
Yeah.
And they also have a 9.8 a giant size X-Men number one.
Right.
For $50,000. And
right.
they have 5,000 shares at $10 each.
Right.
So you buy 8 shares.
Sure.
You know? So now you have 8 shares, $80 worth of a $50,000 book.
Right.
So you have that in your portfolio.
Right.
So now you can go out and buy bits and pieces of all your favorite books.
Right.
Right. I can't afford an Action One, but I got 1/1000 of a percent. That $3 million Action One, I own $50 of it.
Right. Right.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so you can go. So there's a couple of websites. I think one that I saw. They're springing up everywhere now.
Where you can buy pieces of...
Right,
of...
Where I think one was called Otis, O-T-I-S.
Okay.
And I looked at their stuff, and so for example, they had, when I looked a week or so ago, they had they listed a Cristiano Ronaldo rookie card, PSA 10.
Okay.
Right? And... they listed 2,100 shares
okay.
at $10 each. So their IPO offering of that stock
right.
was worth $21,000.
Okay.
So then it goes on to that Otis stock market.
Right.
And it's traded. So and it shows you right there, you know, there are 334 owners of this book.
Okay.
There are 2,100 shares of this book.
Right.
And the shares are trading right now at $32. Chris, that's a 320% increase.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I think.
Yeah.
So, you know, a person that bought 10 of them
okay.
and spent $100
yeah.
has shares in that card now worth $320.
That's crazy.
Right.
Yeah.
And so you basically, if you want to sell your share, that website is right there, and you put it on a bid thing, and you ask $320, and some guy may take it, and you can sell it literally in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
And then a guy puts money in your bank account two seconds later.
That's crazy.
Right? So a whole bunch of questions came up for me for that.
So I'm on the site right now.
Otis.
I'm on Otis.
Yeah.
So there right there, like there's a I chose a good one here for you. I'm on a Luka Doncic.
Doncic.
Uh-huh. Mojo Prism 2018 Panini card.
Right.
What was it
initially? They gave you the date it was listed, right?
You can still buy shares.
Oh, so it's not up yet.
It's not up yet.
Right. Okay.
For $10.
For $10.
$10.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to find ones that
they're already there. Right. Okay. Well, I saw them. So I guess my question to you is this: do you think something like this is going to take hold and take off?
Absolutely.
The NFTs are.
Yep.
But how about this? How about this is my concerns with this, and hear me out on this.
Okay, I'm listening.
Okay. You have a 9.8 giant size X-Men 1.
Right.
It's a physical object sitting somewhere.
Right.
Right? So let's say ICE did it.
Okay.
Our site.
Yeah.
International Collectibles Exchange. So now I'm kind of what am I, the curator?
If you were the one doing it, yeah, you'd have to find a place to store it all.
Right. So now I need a place to store it.
Yeah.
Now I have to pay insurance for it.
Yeah.
Now I have to kind of dust it every now and then, I guess.
Or whatever.
Or buy it safe.
Well, you need to make sure it's well looked after.
Well looked after and, you know, like in a dark, cool place that's not, you know, not have piles of, I don't know what, sitting on top of it. But now also I have to convey to the marketplace a level of confidence in my ability,
sure.
A, not to lose this, and B, not to rip them off.
Right.
But see, let's say you bought that NFT or whatever.
Right.
300 years from now, some distant offspring or generational family member or something could own that.
Right.
That could be passed down from generation to generation.
Right.
Well, what happens when ice retires?
Right.
What happens to my book?
I don't. That's a great question.
Like, what happens? How does the stockholder know that physical, tangible thing is still being held somewhere?
I would think that there has to be some sort. I mean, it would have to be incorporated, and I would think that in the corporation documents there would have to be some sort of legal binding document that says something to the effect of ownership of the company still goes on,
uh-huh.
and there has to be new ownership of the company, or should the company dissolve, that all the assets will be then auctioned off.
Or something. Which could hurt the sellability of the stock, right? I guess. I don't know. You know what would be cool? I just thought of something. So what you do, but you would need a lot of space if you have a lot of items.
Is actually chop it all up and give them each piece?
That'd be so cool. No, I'm talking about a live cam. Actual real-time live cam of the item.
Like all the time? Not,
yeah. 24/7, 365.
Of just that one camera.
That's what you own.
One camera per book?
Per item.
Per item.
Right, and it's a live cam.
Hey, you want to come and take a look at my book?
Hey, look at my book. Look at
there
it.
There it is.
Look at it.
There's the link.
Is that a picture? No, it's live.
It's right there.
It's right now. It's live.
Yeah. That'd be cool.
Right, and then you see, like, you know, some water dripping.
Yeah, mice chewing away
at the plastic or something.
Or defecating on it.
But, so I don't know, Chris. I don't know what I like more. The old man in me likes this more than the NFTs.
Well,
because you're getting a tangible item.
You understand it.
But I don't like the constraints of the storage and the longevity.
Yeah.
If you follow what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So, like, is this Jabron gonna...
I think NFT is... I believe NFT is the way to go for the future.
Uh-huh.
Do you think
this will work? This fractional ownership thing will work?
I think the only way it's going to work is if some mega corporation takes a hold of it. Like, let's say...
Heritage.
Heritage.
Right.
Or even, like, Tops or something like that. Or even a company like that's already... that's promoting this stuff, like Disney or something like that. And
so what you would need, and this is what I thought. I thought what you need there, maybe as this expands, maybe what happens is there's a corporation, a company, you know, that can be lasting for 300 years that is the curator, that will do this to anybody that wants to do this, can send it down to this big mega infrastructure
shelter, so,
and they will take care of it for the next 200 years.
So let's say...
But you have to pay them.
So let's say you have the company that does the trading,
but
then you send...
The book down.
The book down to some third party.
Yeah, like this book is held in Fort Knox.
Right.
And we pay Fort Knox $100 a year for each item.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Fort Knox will be there forever, so you don't have to worry about
your book, right?
But you may have to pay a service charge every year based on value of, you know, 0.8%.
And dusting the comic.
To dust the comic and to pay Fort Knox to secure your comic.
Right.
That way you don't have to worry about Joe Blow that started up this thing because he's got a good collection.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And then Joe Blow gets a divorce and the wife or whatever, you know what I mean.
Chucks them all off the escarpment
or something like that. That's, I guess, the concern.
Right.
Right? If I had $5,000 or you had $5,000 and you could invest in the NFT or the fractional Hulk 181 and you were betting on long-term return, which way would you go?
Under the way it's done now, I can't answer that because I don't know who's owning the Hulk 181. If it's a company that I trust in, I might go with that.
Right.
But right now, I would have to go with the NFT because at least with the NFT, I know that they're going to send me that bit or whatever it is, and I'll own it.
Yeah.
Even though it's digital, I'll have it in my hard
drive.
That's
yours.
That's mine.
You don't have to worry about the integrity of the physical item.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I do think that NFTs are going to be the way to go in the future. I don't know. Now, the only thing I don't know about is right now they're saying, and only because I don't know enough about computers and all that kind of stuff, is I don't know when they say it's non, it's fully encrypted. It's
right.
You know, is that, I know that that's the case now, but what about 20 years from now? Will it be fully encrypted.
When there's quantum computing. And
Will it be fully encrypted then? I don't know.
But how about this? On the same token, paper.
Yeah. Sure.
CGC does hermetically seal it, but paper is still paper.
Yeah.
And 60 years from now, when some great grandkid owns it,
yeah,
is that white page 9/8 still going to be a white page 9/8?
You brought up an interesting question. As I was talking with somebody about this the other day.
Uh huh.
So let's say, I mean, I don't want to go with action one, but let's say you have an action one.
But don't go there.
Well, it's overused, but right. Let's say it's an action one. Let's say you have one that was Minty Mint.
White Pages.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
You get it encapsulated, and it's graded at whatever the grade is. Let's say
8.0.
Uh-huh. Now, you had this done 30 years ago, and right. Let's say, you know, you look at it again. Yeah, the pages aren't quite so white anymore.
Yeah, the edges look like they're little tan.
Starting to get a little tan.
Yeah, a little tan.
But the encapsulation says white.
White.
What do you do?
You leave it in there.
But I mean, like, you know, how do you... It's not really worth what
it was. Let me ask you this, then. Transitions into the crux.
The crux.
This transition into the, as my wife used to say when she taught the kids,
yeah,
level 4 thinking.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Yeah. At what point does Fort Knox,
yeah,
or you take that physical item, the 8.0,
right,
and turn it into a virtual item by, relatively speaking, destroying it?
Right. Okay. That's, you know, so...
So now you have the 8.0. You bought the 8.0. The 8.0 is there.
Right.
You cannot create another one out of thin air.
No.
Because it doesn't exist.
Right.
But this one physically exists. You have proof. You have film. You have this. You have that. And you encrypt it. And you digitalize it.
Right.
And then you watch as it burns.
Right.
I'm just exaggerating here.
So it goes
here.
Into an incinerator.
Because now it's turned virtual.
Right.
But there's pedigree to it.
Right.
There's proof of existence of
right.
it. So you can't just create one.
Yeah.
Because creating one from scratch, it doesn't count.
No.
The scarcity isn't there.
Right.
So what you've done is encapsulated it. You've taken it to the incinerator. There's also some sort of huge ceremony with people with hooded masks and I don't know. Somebody
dressed up like Captain America.
Some lamb sacrifice or something. I don't know what's going on. But you've taken now the real one.
Yeah.
And you trans, like Avatar.
Right.
You transition it into virtual.
Right. So, okay. So.
You think that can happen?
I do think that could happen. And the reason why I'm saying that is, I don't remember when it happened. It was either over the weekend or a weekend ago or whatever it was. But somebody recorded a burning of a Banksy piece of artwork.
Right.
Now, upon closer inspection, they think that it was a Banksy print.
Right.
They don't think it was an actual piece of Banksy artwork.
Right.
But they recorded it and sold it as an NFT.
Right.
So you could even do that. You could say, here's the book.
Uh-huh.
It's now... We're going to make a quick video of it being burned.
Uh-huh.
And so now here's your NFT of that book and it being burned.
But now it's virtual. Right.
Right.
Because it transitioned from real to virtual.
But here's the thing.
This is very exciting, by the way.
So.
Good thing we're fueled by Stella Artois.
If you had. I guess my problem with it is.
Mm-hmm.
There's bound to be more than one person with an action one burning and making it into an NFT.
That's okay. There could be, but each NFT is unique, Chris.
Right.
Because each NFT could, let's say,
yep.
have as part of the encrypted number, the old CGC serial number.
Right.
So it's unique. It's one off.
Right.
You can have 11 NFT action ones. Because literally, I forget the exact population census, but I think it was like 100, let's just say 100.
Right.
100 action ones, unrestored action ones.
Right.
Ranging from 0.5 to 9.0.
Right.
Okay? So, when you create that 0.5 NFT,
yep.
that's going to be limited in value based on it being a 0.5 versus the guy that created the 6.0 NFT. Because that 6.0 NFT will be noted that it was originally much scarcer than the 0.5.
Okay, but here's the thing.
Here's the thing.
What if there's only one 0.5 Action 1 NFT? Okay. And there's three Action 1 graded as a 5.
Are you trying to tell me that that 0.5 NFT is going to be worth more than
if there's only one of them?
Look at you. I like the way you think.
If there's only one of them, technically speaking...
This is what you and I are going to do right now. We're going to go buy up every 0.5 ROM number one we can come up with. And then when those and She-Hulk number one all that stuff,
and when those
9.8s go to NFT, and there's like 50 of them, we'll have the only 0.5 NFT.
That's right. That's right.
We'll make a killing.
Absolutely. But if we're basing it purely on scarcity, and there's only one that's been graded at a 0.5, then technically speaking, it should be worth more than the ones that are graded at a 5.
I don't know. I think I see what you're saying, but it's
because it's no longer about.
No, but it's based on. It's kind of like the Bretton Woods Accord, where the gold.
What?
I don't know. I'm making up stuff. the gold, where the dollars were backed by the gold reserves.
Right.
So your NFT is backed by the reserve of the original product. I know that didn't make sense, but it makes sense to me, and that's
the
important part.
Sure.
So, you know what I mean?
I get what you're saying.
Yeah. So, like if there's two 9.0 Action 1s, and they both are burned to turn into NFTs, you're telling me that 1.5 is NFTs
is actually
worth more?
If there's only one of them.
But I don't think it'll be structured. It'll be structured so.
Who's going to structure it? But this is the problem with NFTs, because now we're basing it solely on the collectability of that particular item, based on demand and based on scarcity.
Yeah, I like that. I'll tell you what else is going to happen for anybody holding big books.
Yeah.
Just to jump off this, because my head's starting to hurt.
Yeah.
I was talking with somebody about this the other day. I think for the next little while, key issues, especially with this fractional ownership
that
you started, key issues are going to remain strong because these websites that are popping up promoting fractional ownership, they don't want to put up a 6.5 Spidey number 32 sitting in their basement.
No.
They need an 8.0 Spidey 1.
Right.
So they're going out now. Fractional ownership companies now are shopping for high-end books.
Absolutely.
Collectors and dealers sitting on high-end books,
they're the winners,
are going to be dictating prices.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
So you're going to see the high-end keys appreciate even more in value because people will be rushing. Because don't forget, a fractional owner, let's say you have a book worth $100,000.
Yeah.
And you want to make 1,000 shares of $100 each.
Yeah.
Well, you could put $140 on that.
Sure, right? Easily.
You say, oh, I own two shares, $280, right?
Yep.
Because they don't think in those terms. Now, you've filled your IPO out.
Yep.
You've made $140,000.
Right.
Right? Now, you have to pay Fort Knox and the insurance company and all that kind of stuff, but you still made way more than...
Absolutely.
And you bought full pop, top nut...
Yep.
Off of some dealer,
right?
And then, but that's going to make the next guy sell his for 110.
Absolutely.
And then the fractional ownership's going to have to go to 150.
Sure.
And then it's going to kind of...
It's going to keep on getting... Well, then what's going to happen is those people that are already owning the fractional ownership, you know, it's going to be a cycle. So the next guy is going to sell theirs for 110. The next guy is going to sell theirs for 120.
Right.
But then when it gets to be 140... Then the guy that was selling his at 140, then now people will start buying shares at 150.
Right.
Right? Because now everything will be, and then the next guy that was selling at 110, now it's going to be 160.
Right.
Right? Everything will be just a cycle.
Right. So I checked on this Otis site. I know we don't have that up, but I checked. They started with like 14 items.
Right.
And I might say the average was like 30,000 each. So
they
started with less than $500,000 in stock.
Yeah.
Inventory. But from what I saw, I think out of the 14, I think at least 11 or 12 are up.
Right.
So this company, and it's like the first of 10 or 15 that I know of now.
Yeah.
It's off to a positive start.
Sure.
The market response has been positive. Like that said, that Cristiano Ronaldo stocks have tripled since the IPO.
Yeah.
Right?
But I think either way, you're going to have to be careful with what you're buying into.
Right.
Because, like, so I went on that little site quickly, and I saw that, for example, there was, a Pokemon card.
Sure. They're doing all pop culture.
A soccer player, uh-huh. A Daredevil one. Like, there's lots of things. But, I mean, not necessarily everybody's going to be interested in a Blastoise Pokemon card.
But there's enough Pokemon people that will be.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. So you may have to be picky and choosy depending on if you're investing purely on investment.
But if you're an investor, why wouldn't you diversify? Why wouldn't you say, hey, I want to own 1/1000th of a Pokemon card, 1/1000th of a Luka Doncic card, and 1/1000th of a Daredevil
one? I didn't realize I was dealing with an accounting firm of... Duralia and Owen here all of a sudden.
That's right. So that's all I'm saying.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. Yeah. You're right.
Because why would you, if you're going to do that, just pick three comics?
I agree. I totally agree.
So
yeah.
I don't know. And it's fun. And I looked at their page, and you kind of look at your portfolio.
Yeah, yeah.
And let's say you put $2,000 in, and you have the 11 items that you own shares in,
right?
You have kind of a history and a record of them and what you bought them at and what they're trading at right now, and
right
you have a button to sell and all this. It's pretty cool.
Interesting.
It's really interesting. So it's a brave new world, Chris. I like you and I are on the absolute cutting edge of it.
Yeah, well, kind of,
because people are listening to this looking for direction
and
they got zero.
They got zero.
Yeah, but at least
we know about it.
At least we know about it.
And you talk to 90% of the population, they don't know anything.
That's right.
So
that's right.
At least we're on the sub cutting edge. Yeah.
And just to forewarn anybody, please, Chris and I know just enough to be dangerous.
Yeah, that's about right.
Just enough to do some damage if you listen to us.
Yeah. So
absolutely, do not take any advice.
No.
I'm being serious here. We do not know enough about this to tell you to do it. I would not tell anybody to do it.
No.
I would tell everybody to go on and study it.
Yeah.
Look at it. Make the decision on your own. Just because Chris and I think it might have a chance means absolutely nothing. And that's important for me to dispel right now.
Absolutely. Right? So, absolutely.
All right.
Listen, I think that's it for the show.
Any comments on fractional ownership? Please, I'm sure you guys have a lot on that. So please add it to the comments field, and we'll see you next week.
All right, have yourself a great day.